There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We are coming to you live from our new summer home. I say new, we've been here now for a couple of weeks. We're down here at Dubai Sports City Kickers Sports Bar. It's absolutely packed in here. A lot of people enjoying their cricket. It is India taking on Afghanistan in this opening match of the day. There's another match to look forward to a little later this evening as well. So much to look forward to in the world of sports. So much to discuss for us over the course of the next 2 hours. And in this hour as well, we're also going to be sending one lucky listener on an all-expenses-paid trip to the ICC Cricket World Cup. That final group match, it is Australia taking on South Africa. That prize courtesy of Emirates Airlines, proud sponsor of the ICC Cricket World Cup. So we'll have that for you between now and 5 o'clock as well. I am joined by, well, it's a full house down here, Mark Archer. We've got the two Marks, Lomas and Archer. We've got Monty as well, our armchair sports fan. And we're also joined as well by Cass Ali, head of cricket development at the ICC Academy right here in Dubai, talking about all things sport. We're discussing Jesse Lingard and the role that athletes have to promote, I guess, living life proper, I guess, is what it is. I remember Rory McIlroy said it. He said, when I was growing up, I didn't dream of being a role model. I dreamed of being a golfer. But I think we're all in agreement. It comes hand in hand. Once you reach the pinnacle, the word's responsibility. There's a responsibility to do things correctly.
There is. I just wanted to, it just kind of made me think about, you mentioned Roy Keane before, and actually Roy Keane was quite notorious off the pitch for not being very friendly with fans. So if a fan wanted to ask for a photo with him, an autograph with him, he would say no more often than he would say yes, because he didn't feel like he had that obligation. So I find it interesting that, you know, he's weighing in on this discussion in that way, because I feel like it was his responsibility as the Manchester United captain to sign for everyone. And I've heard Rory McIlroy as well talking about the fact that he has kind of embraced that, and he feels like when a kid asks him for his autograph, he remembers what it's like asking Tiger Woods for an autograph, and he takes himself back to that childhood kind of state. And so he feels the responsibility to everyone who asks a photo, everyone who asks for an autograph, he gives it to them. And I know that that's not always possible, kind of going off a little bit on a tangent.
No, but it,
you know, it's about responsibility and understanding your responsibility as a world-class athlete.
Well, there's another interesting element to all of this. I mean, Jesse Lingard has posted on Snapchat, he's posted some industrial language, let's call it, like a colourful language that we could not certainly condone. You were mentioning, Cass, off-air, Shoaib Malik's been hitting the headlines because he was caught, there's footage emerged of him at a shisha bar before the Pakistan-India match.
Well, that's what the reports say, that he was the night of the Pakistan-India game, he was caught with his wife and what looked like a couple of other
people. Along with Wahab Riaz.
Well, there was a few other players who were actually there as well. And then we have a notable performance the next day. So there is a lot. I mean, the reports along the line say that Sania Mirza, his wife, who's a well-known Indian tennis player, very, very professional in how she goes about her business, has actually, I've gone up to the reporters very nicely, asked them not to post anything because it is private time with her husband and a child and a couple of local friends or good friends, including some teammates of Mr. Malik, that they are having some private time. Now, there's two parts to this story. There's a private time and a privacy time that the actual, you know, husband and wife want for themselves. And there's also some professional time, and you've got to make a good decision the night before what is arguably the biggest game in any South Asian cricketers, from India, Pakistan. That is the biggest game. That's probably World Cup final for any child, any spectator, any player, any management staff. That is the World Cup. And if you're still out, maybe they could have gone the night before. Maybe they could have possibly gone 2 days before and timed it in. Maybe Shoaib Malik's on the way out of his cricket career, which I'm sure this will be his last World Cup, and probably not, doesn't host it as, you know, top of his agenda. But there is a responsibility as a professional cricketer for me that he has to make the right decision regardless of who the game is the next day.
But I feel if that wasn't at like 2 a.m. in the morning, you know, if it's at like 8 or 9 o'clock in the afternoon and you enjoy, or 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening, you're enjoying some time with your wife and friends, I don't really see how that's particularly detrimental to your performance on the sports field.
And crucially, it's the private time, right? You're not posting it. Now, some would say out there, well, wait a minute, you can't have it one way. You either, you're a professional to the last, or you're not. But in the case of Jesse Lingard, what he does in his free time, I've no problem with. What he was doing up there, totally fine with it. I wouldn't know about it. It's then posting it to, what, 6.3 million followers he has yeah. on Instagram. It's that fine line. I mean, it's. I appreciate there's no right and wrong answer. I'm trying to think, Arch, without stitching up any of your former clients, did you ever have a little run-in? Was there anyone that you got a phone call late at night to say, Archie, I need a helping hand here?
No, but I had a couple of interesting athletes that I looked after that were given, for different reasons, or similar reasons, but in different sports, particularly hard times by the media, and we had to find a way of protecting them. And I'll start with cricket. One of the cricketers I looked after for a number of years was Graham Hick, who for many years was the saviour of English cricket. And he couldn't, in short, he still had an okay international career. He scored six test hundreds, multiple one-day hundreds, but he couldn't translate his form as county cricket to international cricket. He was a wonderful, he was a fantastic player. He scored thousands and thousands of runs for Worcestershire and was expected to come, and he had to serve a seven-year period to qualify for England back in those days. And then he struggled. He came in his first series against the West Indies in their pomp, and they targeted him. He just never got his career up and going. I think he still played 60 or 70 test matches and scored 600 or 700s. But the media, because they'd hyped him up so much, were then the first ones to really knock him down. The other player, very similar heritage, was England rugby player Mike Catt, who I was at Twickenham, when Mike Catt got booed by the English crowd during matches. Mike Catt was ended up being a World Cup winner for England 2003, played a pivotal role with Johnny Wilkinson in the two sort of fly half positions. And he was a guy that also got built up massively by the English media. I think he ended up playing 60 or 70 test matches for England as well. And he played almost every position in the back line, bar scrum half, but was also then heavily given a hard time by the media and fans. So, a different era. There wasn't social media around then, but it was trying to manage expectations and access to media of some of these players, because they were brutal. English media was absolutely brutal with those two guys sort of in the mid to late 90s. Really, two guys, Mike Catt from South Africa, Graham Hick from Zimbabwe, the saviours of English rugby, the saviours of English cricket, were given a really hard time.
In the Indian cricket team as well, just before the World Cup, we had Hardik Pandya and K. Rahul being reprimanded because they went on a very famous talk show in India and just went about telling everything about their personal life. Like, they're celebrities, understood, but you're playing cricket for the nation. What you do in your personal life is what you do in your personal life. No one wants to know that on air. And then the BCCI came hard on them, banned them for a couple of months. I think Pandya was asked to leave the Indian camp when they were in Australia, created huge controversy, but thank God he's back in the Indian team. I thought he would miss out on the World Cup.
It's we the media, isn't it? What? We do like to build our heroes up and knock them down in one fell swoop, don't we?
We do. I have to say, I don't want people to be censored, and I don't want sportsmen and sportswomen and athletes to feel like they should be censored. You know, we've seen with Raheem Sterling what an incredible job and what incredible tools social media can be to get a social message across as a sportsman and as an athlete. I don't want people to be censored. I just want people to take more time and care and think a little bit more about what they're posting and the ramifications of what they're posting. The fact that, you know, millions of people see what they're posting. It's not like you and me, well, maybe you, Chris, but it's not like me posting on social media. You know, only a couple of hundred people see it. So.
Yeah, absolutely right. 4001, keep your thoughts coming in on that one. I want to get back to some live sport now. The cricket is ongoing. Great atmosphere down here. If you are looking for a venue to spend a Saturday afternoon into the evening, do pop on down Kicker Sports Bar. As I say, 19 dirhams, for as little as 19 dirhams, you can pick up one or two well-known beverages between 3 and 7 p.m. It is India taking on Afghanistan. Beautiful weather. There's not a cloud in the sky over there in the
stunning.
UK.
Stunning in Southampton, isn't it? But India are battling away here. They've completed 41 overs of their 50, 176 for 4. MS Dhoni not out 23, and Yadav not out 21. So I can expect 10 overs remaining. India really just pick the pace up here because they're only going at 4.5 runs an over, which shouldn't be enough, but I expect them still to get in excess of 260. The wicket's slow, it is turning, and that will probably favour India when they do come in. But Afghanistan staying in the match, putting together a good performance in the field, bowling nice and straight. The ball is turning, and it is going to be a challenging total, I think, for Afghanistan to chase, but they will be in the match. Bit of news from Old Trafford. The West Indies have won the toss They will bowl first against New Zealand. West Indies, of course, absolutely annihilated New Zealand in one of the warm-up matches, scored almost 400 runs. So it'll be interesting to see how this match will go. New Zealand look unchanged from the team that beat South Africa a few days ago. The West Indies have been forced to make a couple of changes. Darren Bravo, Andre Russell and Shannon Gabriel aren't playing. In comes Ashley Nurse, Carlos Braithwaite and Kemar Roach come into the team. So it's a must-win match for West Indies. They've got a very disappointing only 3 points from five games. It's a win, a must-win match for them to stay in the tournament.
Tennis as well, that is ongoing both at Queen's and over in Halle. And well, Roger Federer, his semi-final matchup, it's been pushed a little later, 5:40 local time here in Dubai and across the United Arab Emirates. One semi-final is ongoing and Lomas is across it.
Yeah, Matteo Berrettini versus David Goffin to most probably earn the right to play Roger Federer in the final. Let's not rule out Pierre Hubert just yet. But David Goffin has taken the first set there in a tiebreak, went on serve all the way through the set. Goffin winning 7-6 on the tiebreak. He's one love up in the second set as well. Over in Birmingham on grass, Ash Barty's just got into the final of the tournament there, beating Barbara Strakova in straight set 6-4, 6-4. And we are underway at Queen's as well. Dmitry Medvedev, one love up in the first set against Gilles Simon.
It is the French Grand Prix this weekend, and the Formula One roadshow now back into Europe ahead of their summer holidays, I can tell you as well. Final practice, I never like to get carried away with practice because of course it's where the mechanics, the engineers are working on various things, but Mercedes lockout in final practice, Valtteri Bottas the quickest over there, Lewis Hamilton in second. More galling for Ferrari fans out there is that Mercedes were half a second quicker than their Ferrari rivals. Charles Leclerc in third, Sebastian Vettel in fourth. Vettel, bad news for him over the course of the last 24 hours as well, because his appeal has been what we all expected, and that's thrown out.
Yeah, it's been thrown out. I mean, it was always hanging on a little bit, I think, by Ferrari to appeal it. I think if something was going to happen, it would have happened in the immediate aftermath rather than 2 weeks later. But Ferrari said that they presented new evidence, and the FIA said they hadn't produced any new evidence, and so they ruled out the appeal. So, still Hamilton's victory in Canada 2 weeks ago.
Indeed, yes, that incident where Sebastian Vettel, again under a bit of pressure, a little moment of lapse of concentration off the track, he came back on. It was deemed that he came back on. He returned to the track in a dangerous manner. He was given a 5 second penalty, and as such, Lewis Hamilton taking the victory. We're talking, and again, I've probably got to be a little careful. I'm playing devil's advocate a bit. This ICC Cricket World Cup hasn't been that bad. One thing that is terrible from a drama perspective is this year's F1 season. I mean, we're 9 races in and it's done and dusted for Mercedes already.
Hamilton 29 points ahead of Bottas. I think 62 points ahead of Vettel already as well. And actually, the qualifying has been quite interesting. Hamilton's only been on pole twice, but he still managed to win 5 out of the 7 races. The Mercedes, just they're way ahead.
And the difference between the last couple of seasons is, the last couple of seasons we've seen up to about up to race 10.
Yeah.
Mercedes be competitive. We've seen a multiple of different drivers win races. And then Mercedes always seem to have an extra gear, so to speak. And those last 10 races just seem to take it away.
Yeah.
They've been dominating from race 1 this year, and it's scary where they're going to end up. But I don't know. I mean,
predictable.
It is predictable. Yeah.
That's it. It's a procession is what it is.
And maybe there's going to be some more changes afoot to try and level the playing field.
I think there probably
will be. Some of the videos after Canada were absolutely hilarious, though. I don't know if you saw Vettel. He put the number one marker in front of his own car. And then I saw a video from kind of the winner's circle room afterwards as well. And it was, you could cut the tension with a knife when Vettel walks in and he says to Hamilton, you know, what was I supposed to do? Hamilton just kind of ignores him and says, yeah, tough race out there, wasn't it?
I think this could be the last season we see Vettel in a Formula 1 car.
Yeah, Ferrari, certainly.
Yeah.
I think Ferrari, he's under pressure, especially if he gets outperformed across this season by his new teammate Charles Leclerc, who by all accounts is a future world champion. He has impressed me thus far. He's been unfortunate in one or two races, but there's no doubt the young man has got a very bright future.
The best racing in Formula 1 this year has been down the grid a bit.
Yeah.
The middling teams. You take Mercedes out of the picture, you take Ferrari out of the picture, and even Red Bull, which has been a bit disappointing this year with their form. We're really waiting for Max Verstappen to step up. But the teams in that middle piece there, the Haas Racing and these guys, you know, that's where it's been really interesting this season. Those have been really good battles, but for one and two on the grid, it's been
battles, but unfortunately they're down, way down, and it's the guys at the top that we should be focusing on. There's been no drama. Formula One fans, let us know. Of course, a reminder, NBC Action is where you can catch all your Formula One. It's our good mate Damien Reid who's providing the commentary across this season. Damo, you won't be listening to us, but a big shout out to you nonetheless. When we come back, much more chat on all things sport. I want to talk a little bit more football. The African Cup of Nations, it's kicked off this weekend. There's the Copa America, there's the Women's World Cup, and we're talking controversy a little earlier. There's been plenty of that in the FIFA Women's World Cup. We'll have more of that in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Kickers Sports Bar, where the game is always on.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. It is The Grill on your Saturday afternoon, coming to you live from Kicker Sports Bar. Great little atmosphere down here. Sun is shining, of course it is. It's the summer in Dubai. The cricket is on the big screens, 15 plus dotted around this venue as well. There'll be tennis a little later as well, I'm sure. And of course, plenty of football. I want to talk football in just a moment. So many international tournaments, both for men and women, currently ongoing. Before we do that, though, Mark Archer's reminded me there is the small matter of the Super Rugby quarterfinals. He's prepped, he's ready, he's locked, and he's loaded. What's going on, Arch?
It's done and dusted, Chris. I can tell you that Super Rugby quarterfinal weekend, all the playoff matches are done and dusted. The match just completed was in Australia, in Canberra. It was the Brumbies from Canberra taking on the Sharks from Natal, and the Brumbies are too strong at home. They've won that match 38 points to 13, 4 tries to 1. Comprehensive win for the Brumbies. They'll advance to the semi-finals. I can tell you that the match earlier today was in Wellington, the Hurricanes versus the Bulls, another South African team, and the Hurricanes held on. Good match this, end-to-end action, but the Hurricanes have won that match 35 points to 28 versus the Bulls from Pretoria. Their reward next weekend is a trip to Christchurch to take on the Crusaders. 9-time Super Rugby champions. They defeated the Highlanders yesterday in the South African Derby, 38 points to 14. 17-14 at half-time, but Richie Mo'unga really stepped up, scored 23 points, 2 tries, 5 conversions, 1 penalty, and the Crusaders machine just rumbled on. They look really good. So one semi-final next weekend, Crusaders taking on the Hurricanes, all New Zealand semi-final that. And then the other team that's had an amazing season, down in Argentina, the Jaguares from Buenos Aires, they created history. So they've made their first ever semi-final. They defeated the Chiefs from New Zealand, 21 points to 16. And so they will play a home semi-final, and you expect them being a really tough place to go for the team from Canberra. The Brumbies have to travel to Buenos Aires to take on the Jaguares next weekend. So the two semi-finals, Crusaders will host the Hurricanes in Christchurch, and in Buenos Aires, the Jaguares will be at home to the Brumbies. And that all sets it up, potentially, if it goes to form, to maybe see the team from Argentina play their first final, probably against the Crusaders in Christchurch in 2 weeks' time. So there's your quarterfinal action, and looking forward to that action. Semi-finals next weekend.
Just on rugby, if I can, you mentioned Richie Mo'unga. Gets in the All Blacks?
Oh, definitely. I'd have him starting over Beauden Barrett.
I was just going to ask you the question.
If I could pick him, I'd pick him at 10.
You would have Mo'unga ahead of Barrett.
He's the informed 10 of the competition. Informed 10 in the last two seasons.
Wow.
But Beauden Barrett, I'd have him at 15.
So you would play Beauden Barrett at 15 in the All Blacks?
Yep.
And what's the thinking? Steve Hansen will play Beauden Barrett at number 10.
Well, you've got Ben Smith as well. They might put Ben Smith on the wing. So you've got multiple options there. Of course, they lost their multi-talented player, McKenzie, earlier in the season, who plays 10 and 15. So McKenzie won't be at the All Black, but Damien McKenzie. But Mo'unga gives them a really good option, and Beauden Barrett will fit into around that. But so Beauden Barrett maybe at 15. All Blacks are pretty conservative. Beauden Barrett will start at 10. Ben Smith will probably be at fullback. But we'll wait and see. Mo'unga gives them a really good option as a backup 10.
Yeah, just on rugby, if we can stick with it. Of course, we are building up to the Rugby World Cup, September 20th through, I think, to November the 3rd over in Japan. Really excited. As an All Black, I say an All Black, you've never pulled on the All Black jersey. As a Kiwi,
should have done.
Mark Archer. Apprehensive, or is it just confidence personified again?
Business as usual, right? They'll go into the World Cup, they've won the last two. Every match the All Blacks play, they go in as favourites. They'll go into the World Cup as slight favourites, but the pack has caught them up. You know, there's not a big difference between, I think, the top three or four teams. You put Ireland in the mix, you put England in the mix, you put Wales in the mix. And I think that's where, and watch out for Argentina as well, because
I'm excited about this World Cup, I really am.
There's a really small margin of error now between those top teams. Ireland have got confidence, for example. They've beaten New Zealand twice and all that in recent years, yeah, after not beating them in 120 years. So they're not far away, but I'm not sure if they're on the up or on the slight decline. Wales have had a really good season, but no one's talking about Wales and Warren Gatland, about them being real contenders at the World Cup and the Six Nations champions. Yeah. England, we know they're going to be strong. They have strength and depth. They named their training side this week and left out some notable players of that team.
Dylan Hartley.
Chris Robshaw as well. Danny Keir. All omitted from their training squad. They could make the finals team, but they've been omitted. So he's left away a lot of old experience. World Cups and rugby are traditionally won by teams with lots of experience. So Weddy Jones has gone a different direction. Those players have been blighted by injury as well. So really interesting time in the world of rugby. I'm getting excited. I'll be there in Japan, for the last couple of weeks of the tournament, semi-finals and final stage. But interesting times in the rugby world as well. Some big plans by the IRB was kerfuffled early in the week. The way trying to revamp the game, a new international championship.
I like the idea on paper, Arch.
And there was a couple of big sticking points. It was mooted to start in 2022. The top six teams in the Northern Hemisphere would take on the top six teams in the Southern Hemisphere. The Six Nations would exist as is normal. The Rugby Championship would exist, and then the teams would play each other. And ultimately, at the end of the season, the top two teams would play off in an international rugby championship. That was mooted, but there were plans that the teams, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere, didn't agree with, particularly the opportunity of promotion relegation. So some of the teams in the Northern Hemisphere weren't happy with the prospect of being relegated, so they refused to take part, and that basically scuppered the plans. It was going to mean that massive investment was going to come into world rugby. Developing countries would be given more funding, and it would be better for the general well-being of the sports globally. Unfortunately, the aspect of promotion relegation was a major sticking point, and those plans now have been scuppered, and it won't proceed.
We'll break away from the rugby for just a moment. You may have heard a big cheer or a big gasp behind us here, and that's because, well, oh my goodness, India should really be another wicket down. Afghanistan have made a mess of that, a potential run-out opportunity. He's caught between a rock and a hard place, and in the end, oh my goodness, he's missed the run-out opportunity by a matter of inches. So India, we were talking about the fact it's a slow pitch. They've made hard work of this thus far, India. They're just leaving the door ajar for Afghanistan, you feel. 192 for 4, India currently are. It's Rashid that is bowling at this moment in time. 44.2 overs, I think, gone.
I don't know if they'll be hitting that 300.
No.
250 would be a good score on this wicket, I think. And it's time for Hardik Pandya to face those last two. And that's it, as we speak.
And he's gone. Yeah. Pandya's gone. Wow. Is that Dhoni or Pandya?
Dhoni stumped.
It's Dhoni who's gone. So Dhoni is stumped. Dhoni is gone. 192 for 5.
I feel a big upset coming on here, I reckon.
Afghanistan beating India.
Tell you what, that could be massive for the game and the tournament. And some of them teams lower down, especially Pakistan.
I think Dhoni just got out at the right time. Hardik Pandya, this is his moment.
If he
stays until the last ball, it would be a difference between 240 and 270, in my opinion. Yeah,
we'll keep an eye on it as we go. So another wicket down. Dhoni gone for 28. The Indian legend. Coming back to your point, Arch, and I want to get the boys' thoughts on this as well. Rugby, the idea that was mooted, is the sad thing in all of that, not the fact that there are younger nations, the Georgias of this world, who I know have made great strides in recent years. Again, it's the elite keeping the younger nations down.
Not the elite, Chris, it's Scotland.
Well, so Scotland and Ireland, I think, were another one that kicked up a fuss about relegation as well, I believe it was.
Yeah, and I'd say possibly Italy would have held their hand up, and not after being wooden spooners for a number of years. But you're dead right. In the Southern Hemisphere, teams like Japan, the Pacific Island teams like Fiji and Samoa are really being kept out of that of the big boys, not getting enough rugby, not being sharing the riches. In the Northern Hemisphere, the likes of Georgia are not being given a chance to come into the top six in the Six Nations. So it's a little bit of self-interest by those teams. There was $6 billion was going to come into the sport of investment that all the countries would have benefited by. It would have stopped a lot of the Southern Hemisphere teams. South Africa, it would have stopped their player drain. It would have stopped the New Zealand player drain, the Australian player drain, by players wouldn't be able to be paid more, stay in their respective countries. It would have grown the international game to give more teams. It is a shame. There were concerns around promotion relegation. There were concerns around player welfare.
I was going to say, so I mean, you say that for the players there, that could have been a great opportunity, but actually, the way I read it was that players were a bit of a stumbling block in some way because of the amount of travel they would have to do.
Only with the countries that don't centrally contract their players. Yeah. So in New Zealand, you centrally contract the players. In Ireland, they centrally contract the players. They can manage their workload. In Wales, centrally contract the workload. So some countries got it right when rugby turned professional 20 years ago. Some countries didn't.
Scotland.
Like England and Scotland, where the clubs still pay the majority of the salaries. Yeah. And they have a big say in player welfare, and in France as well, where the clubs are dominant as opposed to the national union. So they were the two major sticking points. Maybe it can get revived. Maybe there's some solutions that can be offered, because I thought it was a good concept.
I
thought conceptually it gave some context to the Autumn Internationals.
Yes,
it gave the rugby fans a premier game between the top two ranked countries in between World Cup years, which would have been interesting to see New Zealand play England, for example, or New Zealand play Ireland in an end-of-year finale, which would have had a lot of appeal, brought new money into the game, but also the opportunity to grow those developing nations with more funding. You would have thought it's a good thing, but Scotland, Italy...
Don't blame us.
You know, hold your hands up. You've let everyone down.
Yeah, you have. I take that point, and I take it on the chin. So I do. Right then, keep it locked right here, Dubai 103.8. You are listening to The Grill. When we come back, our three finalists are in the building. We are giving one of these finalists an all-expenses-paid trip to the UK to watch Australia versus South Africa. Flights, two nights accommodation in Cass's part of the world. It's up in Manchester as well. He'll be
sunny there, mate.
Oh, it's sunny right now. I'm sure you'll be giving a few tips of where they can go for a night out as well. We are giving that incredible prize away when we come back. Stay tuned.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill. Live from Kickers Sports Bar, where the game is always on.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. You are listening to The Grill on your Saturday afternoon, 20 to 5. Beautiful weather out there and a beautiful atmosphere down here. Kickers Sports Bar, our new summer home. We will be here all the way through until the conclusion of this ICC Cricket World Cup. It is a fantastic little spot down here. There is a happy hour, 3 until 7, 19 dirhams. I say it all the time. I am a tight Scotsman. At 19 dirhams is absolutely... Well, it's worth jumping in the car and coming down here is exactly what it's worth doing. We are here until 6 o'clock this evening, but of course we are here every Saturday between 3 and 6 o'clock. We are giving one lucky listener in the next 10 minutes the chance of an all-expenses-paid trip over to the World Cup to see Australia against South Africa. We will introduce our competitors in just a moment. Before we do that, though, there is a match ongoing. It's match 28, day 24, I think it is, of this World Cup. It's India against Afghanistan. Mark Archer.
India making heavy weather of this in their innings. 205 for 5 after 46 overs. So four overs remaining of the Indian innings. It's been a tough pitch to bat on. It's been holding from ball one. It's been turning a bit as well. And the Pakistan team have bowled really straight. They've extracted some turn and put some pressure on the Indian batsmen. So Yadav not out, 43. He's going to hold the key here in the final couple of overs. He's been joined by Pandya, who's just come into the crease and one not out. So India, 205 for 5 with four overs remaining. But I can tell you, the second match, Chris, has started in Old Trafford. And massive drama in the first over. New Zealand undefeated in the tournament, taking on the West Indies. West Indies need to win this match to stay in the World Cup. First ball of the match by Sheldon Cotterill. A yorker to Martin Guptill. He's been bowled first ball of the innings. This was the man that scored 256 against the West Indies in the last World Cup in New Zealand. But also, that's not all the drama. Kane Williams has come into the crease. Fine innings. Innings of the tournament for me during the week against South Africa. Played extremely well. He's hit his first ball for 4. He's backed it up with a 3. Last ball of the over.
Oh, no.
Munro, the other opening batsman, facing his first ball. He's been bowled first ball as well of the over. So New Zealand, 7 for 2 after the first over. Both openers gone for Golden Ducks. And Kane Williamson, how much of this innings now is going to be on his broad shoulders again? So New Zealand 7 for 2 after one of their 50 overs.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. That is breathless stuff. The excitement building, and the excitement building down here, because it is time to give away this prize. We've been running it for the past fortnight on Dubai 103.8 off script and in conjunction with The Grill. It is all courtesy of our good friends Emirates Airlines. They have provided us with two tickets to the final group match. It is Australia against South Africa, Old Trafford, Manchester. We've thrown in Gabby and her team, the brand management team, at Dubai Eye. They have found a hotel, they've found a couple of flights as well, and essentially we're giving one lucky listener the chance to enjoy the World Cup on us. Now let's welcome in our finalists across the fortnight. I will start with the man to my left. I will start with the man who is looking resplendent in an India kit, which begs the question, why on earth would he want to go and watch Australia against South Africa? It's Kunal. Kunal, very good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Chris.
You are wearing your Indian colours with pride, my man. Australia, South Africa. Who will you be supporting if you win this prize?
I would say South Africa, because I think Australia are going to make it to the semi-finals.
I think so.
So it'd be nice to see a bit of drama in there. And
have you ever been to the UK?
I have indeed. So I actually just came back from the UK. I went to watch India and New Zealand and it was rained out. So I travelled all the way. I saw no cricket and came back.
Okay, so this is a chance for redemption.
That's it, exactly.
For you, my man. Okay, so that's Kunal. He is our first finalist. We're also joined by Mohammed. Mohammed, a very good afternoon to you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Who is your team? Pakistan?
Yeah, Pakistan.
Okay, you're a Pakistan fan. Are they going to make the semi-finals? Do you feel they've still got enough? They can do it?
I can't predict against Pakistan because of Pakistan.
No one likes to predict what Pakistan do.
Pakistan can do anything anytime. Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly it. That is Pakistan in a nutshell. Mohammed, have you ever been to the UK?
Yeah.
You've been to the UK?
Last month.
Okay, well, last month as well. We've got travellers on our show. So Kunal's been a few weeks back to the World Cup and Mohammed has been last month as well. You want to win this prize more than anything, correct?
Yeah.
Of course you are. Right then, Mo is in, Kunal is in. Let's welcome in our third finalist. It is Nick. A very good afternoon to you, Nick.
Good afternoon, Chris. Thank you for having me.
That is an English accent, I believe it is.
It is. Yep, it is.
So Australia, South Africa, who would you be rooting for if you win this prize?
It's difficult, but you've got to be against the old enemy, haven't you? You've got to be. And I'm feeling a little bit for these Proteas. They've had a tough tournament.
They have had a tough time of it, haven't they?
Yeah, and everybody likes to see Australia lose, let's face it.
And Mark Archer, the proud Kiwi, he is nodding along. Yeah, I'm probably like that as well as a Scotsman in actual fact, so I'd be rooting for South Africa as well. Right, the boys are in. Here is how it's going to work. I, this morning, spent about 4 hours. I spent 10 minutes coming up with this little quiz. I've got a quiz for you, okay? All three of you will be asked 3 questions, okay? I like to think I start them easy, they get harder as we go along. If there is a tie at the end of your 3 questions, whereby if you answer all 3 of them correct, all 3 of you, I've got a tiebreaker and it's nearest the pin wins. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. What I'm going to do then is, because Kunal, you're to my left, I'm going to go left to right. Are we happy with that? I need to ensure that we are all happy. Okay, are we ready, Kunal?
We're ready.
Your first question.
All right.
Who is England's captain at this ICC World Cup?
In Morgan.
Pretty easy start. I told you it would be easy, that is correct. Kunal, you're 1 from 1. Right then, it's over to Mark Archer. Mohammed, are you ready for this?
Yes.
Right then, March, your question.
Okay, Mohammed, my question to you is, all-rounder Shakib Al Hassan plays for which country?
Bangladesh.
Too easy. Too easy. Far too easy. Right, Nick, do you follow cricket?
Yes, I do a little bit.
Okay, let's see if you get this one. I'm now starting to panic. I've maybe made this one a little hard, but let's see.
Thanks, Chris.
Right then. A man has hit 166 in this World Cup. He's top scored with this. Who was it?
It's our friend, I won't say a cheat. I won't say that. It's Mr. David Warner.
It is correct. Well done, you. I told you they were easy. So we're all 1 from 1. I've got a funny feeling, given the fact you all clearly know your cricket, we might be heading for the tie break. Right then, we move on to round number 2. Mark Archer, it's to Kunal.
Okay, Kunal, your question, your second question is, who won the inaugural ICC World Cup in 1975?
That would be the West Indies.
He knows
that
his stuff.
That would be correct.
He knows his stuff. He doesn't even need the 5 seconds. Kunal's 2 from 2. Right then, Mo, we move on to you, my friend. Are you ready?
Yes.
How many times have Australia won the ICC World Cup?
5 times.
Oh, too easy. Yes, correct. You don't even need the timer. I made this far too easy. Right then, Nick. It's over to you, my man.
Nick, my question for you, second question for you is, who did India beat in the 2011 World Cup final?
I think it was Sri Lanka.
It was Sri Lanka. Right then, we move on to final question. Question number 3. I've made this true or false. I've got a funny feeling you're going to get these right. Right then, it's back to you, Kunal. Ready?
Yep.
Sri Lanka have never won the ICC Cricket World Cup. Is that true or false?
That's false.
Yeah, that's right. They won it in 1966. I'm thinking England in the Football World Cup. Right then, on to you, Mohammed.
Okay, Mohammed, your third and final question is, Shane Warne holds the record for the most wickets in World Cup, in Cricket World Cup history. True or false?
False.
He's gone false. He's correct to go false.
The answer is, do you
Glenn
know
who, McGrath.
Glenn
it
McGrath.
Is Glenn McGrath, Kunal. Well done. You right. It's all on you, Nick. Clean sweep, and we're heading for the tie break. You need to get this one right, my man. Ricky Ponting holds the record for most runs in a World Cup tournament with 673. Is that true or is that false?
No, I'll say true.
He's gone true. Nick, it's false. It's false. It's Sachin Tendulkar, Nick. I'm so sorry, my man. I'm so sorry, Nick. Nick is gone at the final hurdle. We're down to just two. It is Kunal. It is Mohammed. I have a tie-breaker question for you.
And it's India versus Pakistan. We don't see it very often in cricket either, do we?
It is.
So we're getting it here at Kickers.
It is India versus Pakistan. India for Kunal, Pakistan for Mohammed. Your question, boys. Now, it's only right. I'm going to start with you, Kunal. I started with you. It's a nearest to pin. Okay, so I've got a question. I'm going to give you both 5 seconds to have a little think. In actual fact, you know what I'm going to do? Because I've always got an issue with this. I always think it perhaps it's easier for the second person. What I want you to do is you've got 5 seconds. I want you to write your answers down. There's one pen. Have we got a second pen? We'll get a second pen to you. And I want you to write your answers down. So you're going to get 5 seconds. I'm going to give you the question. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to write the answer down. And then you're going to reveal your answers to me. The winner, the closest to the pin, gets this incredible prize. Flights, 2 nights accommodation in Manchester, and 2 tickets, courtesy of Emirates Airline, to Australia versus South Africa. Right then, Kunal, are you ready? You're ready.
Yeah, right.
Mohammed, are you ready? Yes. That's steely determination of you, my man. Right, here we go. Your question. Forgetting today's matches, how many runs have been scored in this ICC World Cup? Go. Forgetting today, how many runs have been scored? Put a figure down.
Quick clue is there's been 27 matches up until today.
Yes. Right, do we have totals? If you know this, I'll be blooming impressed because I crunched the numbers this morning. This did actually take me about an hour because I kept making a mistake on the calculator. Right then, we've got answers. Mohammed, you got your answer? I'm going to give you a little extra. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Right, I want answers. Right then, Kunal. You've got your answer. Mohammed's got his answer. Kunal, you're going with how many?
12,000.
12,000, says Kunal.
9,000.
9,000 for Mohammed.
Very, very, both the good answers.
12,000, Kunal, India. 9,000, Mohammed, Pakistan. I can tell you that the winner and the man receiving this incredible prize, it is. It's Kunal. It's 11,626 runs. It's a heck of a guess from Kunal. Congratulations.
Thank you.
He's punched out the lights. The electricity has failed in here. Well done to you, Kunal, my man. Well done, Mohammed. Commiserations to you, my friend.
Nick, cheers. Thank you, Nick.
Commiserations to Nick as well. Kunal, you've won that prize. 12,000. Talk me through your thinking.
I just went high. I just thought, go high.
Go high.
Because I thought a lot of runs have been scored. We're halfway through the tournament. So I was pretty sure it's higher than 10,000.
Well, you went. I see here both of you. You started, I think, 9,000. Mohammed started at 3,600. He then changed last minute and went 9. Yeah. You went 12,000, Kunal. It is actually 11,626 runs scored thus far, taking out today's matches. It's an incredible guess, Kunal. You're on the way to the UK. You were over there a week or so ago.
Yeah.
You missed it. The rain called off India and New Zealand. Yeah. You're now going back, my man. Enjoy it. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Breathless stuff. We're going to pose for some pictures for the next couple of moments. A big congratulations to Kuna.
Thank you.
A big thank you to Emirates Airline, of course, as well, for their partnership in this competition. When we come back, more sport.
The Grill has all the sport you need right now.
On Dubai I 103.8.
Welcome back to the show. We have made one man very happy indeed. Congratulations again to Kunal. He is on his way to the ICC Cricket World Cup to watch Australia versus South Africa. He is the winner of that prize, and again I will reiterate a big thank you to Emirates Airline. He has just told us a story off air as well that I'm going to keep in my back pocket, and the reason I'm going to do that is because Kunal may well be joining us on off script this week. An incredible little tale that
it's
he has
fair
just
to
told
say
us.
That Kunal's done quite well out of ARN.
He's done very well out of ARN. That's how we'll tease it. Tune in off script on Sunday. He is as well. You're absolutely right. We will have more on that story come Sunday. But congratulations to Kunal. He is celebrating with his loved ones down here. That all expenses paid trip. And the fact that he's been over in this World Cup, and the fact that the match was rained off and he's had to come home without watching cricket, it's actually quite nice that he's now heading back. And fingers crossed, the rain subsides in Manchester and he gets to watch some cricket. The text of the day, by the way, has just come in. And thank you very much for this one. It's come in from Zudu, I think it is. My apologies if I'm pronouncing that wrongly. But he says, India beats Pakistan again. And it was the case because Kunal, of course, beat Mohammed. Mohammed flying the flag for Pakistan. Kunal, a proud Indian. And it's India and Kunal heading to the UK. I am back here with the gang. The gang have dropped back in again. Mark Archer, Mark Lomas, we've got Monty. And it's nice to see Kaz stick around as well. Better things to be doing than sticking with us, Kaz. No, as head of development of cricket for the ICC Academy, I thought you would have been back out, but I suppose it's too hot out there, isn't it? Just now?
It is a little bit hot, but I've got a good ship, well-organised ship running back there, so a good leader is always the one that sits behind us.
You see it perfectly. You're absolutely right, Cass, no doubt about it. I want to give you a quick update before we move this on and talk all things football. I want to get to Copa America. I want to get to the African Cup of Nations as well. The cricket is ongoing. India
only have one over remaining. They're 219 for six, so they're going to hope that they can finish with a bang and get up a pretty competitive score. But it's been hard going by the Indian batsmen. Afghanistan, the pitch has been sticking, it's been turning, and Afghanistan have bowled really well and going to restrict India to a gettable score here. So this is going to be a fascinating contest when Afghanistan come out to bat. So 219 for six, there's one over remaining. Yadav is not out 49. He's going to hopefully bring up his 50. And Mohammad Shami is the man at the crease on one not out. Now, lots of drama also at the Old Trafford for the start of the New Zealand match. Two wickets in the first over. Martin Guptill gone first ball of the match. His fellow opener dismissed for a golden duck, Colin Munro, with the last ball of the first over. Kane Williamson, 12 not out. Ross Taylor, lots of experience there, has joined him at 10 not out. 22 for 2 New Zealand after 4 of their 50 overs. And it looks like a bit of a juicy wicket at Old Trafford. It's doing plenty. So it's going to be hard work for New Zealand batsmen there, just as India have struggled in their innings. But I think low-scoring matches, around 220 to 240, often make the best games of cricket in one-day eye cricket. So let's look forward to both these chases here. New Zealand 22 for 2, and India are currently 219 for 6.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that. Tennis as well. We've got one of our finalists set for Halle tomorrow, Mark.
We have. David Goffin is going to be the man competing in the final in Halle. He's beaten Matteo Berrettini by 2 sets to 0. It was a bit tighter in the first set, 7-6 to Goffin, but second set a little bit easier for him, 6-3. And he is, as I keep saying it, most probably, but let's not rule him out, going to face Roger Federer in the final. So the second semi-final, Federer versus Pierre-Hugues Herbert, who Andy Murray is playing doubles with at Wimbledon. That's the second semi-final due to start in about 30 minutes' time. Over at Queens, Dmitry Medvedev is 5-4 up against Gilles Simon. That's gone back on serve after Medvedev got an early break. So 5-4 in the first set over in Queens. And the second semi-final there is Felix Auger-Aliassime, said it better that time, versus Feliciano Lopez. That's coming up after this one.
Yeah, Aliassime, what a player he is.
Incredible tournament.
18
years old. Yeah.
He is a superstar. And it was interesting listening to Stefanos Tsitsipas say that Aliassime is unlike anyone that he's faced and that he is destined very quickly to break into the top five of men's tennis. Cass, I'm conscious because you are a busy man. I want to just chat. I do joke there that it's too hot out there, but you are running programs during the summer. Talk to us a little bit about what you're up to this summer.
Yeah, we are, and we're quite busy across Dubai Sports City, to be honest with you. We've got a fantastic summer scheme running for all the kids from ages four upwards, you know, where they get to experience football, cricket, golf, rugby, all in one house, and tennis in there as well. So
it's a fantastic opportunity for the summer scheme, for kids to come along, enjoy a great opportunity, let the dads and mums go to work or shopping or the pool or wherever they want to go. But from our point of view, you know, we've got all these sports under one air-conditioned facility. We're well taken care of. We've got a lot of experienced staff that are running the programs. Obviously, there's sibling discounts. There's all sorts of stuff that's going on in terms of what's available. You know, we've got early bird offers till the 30th of June that's going on. And you can come and register for four years upwards from the 30th of June onwards. So we've got a six-week program running. And it's cheap as chips. It's $6.95 for the full week. You get 20% discount, 20% sibling discount as well. So it's cheaper than childcare at the moment.
Yeah, it is. Not that I am a father or parent, but I can absolutely understand that it's not cheap to keep kids. I guess it's entertained more than anything, but crucially, I want to return back to something you said, and it stuck in the mind there, that are you one of those coaches, certainly at a young age, you're obviously, cricket is your sport. You've mentioned there under this air-conditioned roof to our right-hand side here, beautiful facility down here, it's all sports. Are you one of those cricket coaches that says, no, I speak to some coaches, no, just want that kid playing cricket, focusing on his cricket, because you said it earlier, at a young age, you want kids playing the full gamut of sports.
Yeah, absolutely, and I would encourage that to all parents, to not just specialise in one single sport. Unfortunately, there needs to be a bit of education around there in terms of specialising. I would encourage all children to get involved with as many different sports as possible. The motor learning that goes on there, the cognitive skills that are there, the physical competencies that are there as well, understanding what the dynamics of each sport bring to that one experience that's required to win a potential game. Kids learn that from an early stage. Unstructured practice is what I would definitely encourage. Don't focus on 10,000 hours of just practice. It's got to be unstructured stuff where the child can learn and develop and fail and understand what that comes to. I think we've just got another big wicket.
Yeah.
But for me, children have to learn the different concepts of sports. You just have to look at A.V. de Villiers. Fantastic role model in today's day and age. The most talked about individual, played many different sports as a youngster, and he's a 360 player, and that's what we want from all our children, all our kids playing cricket. Multi-dimensional cricketers is what we're looking for.
Last one from me to you, Cass. In terms of how do you manage that with the indoor, with the searing summer heat for 3-4 months, do you still get good practice? Do you still put good hours into these kids during the summer months?
Yeah, absolutely. And what we try and do, we've got a 30-week program that runs from September onwards for our ICC Academy program, where there's various different stages of programs for different ages, different abilities. But throughout the summer period, where it tends to get quite hot, a lot of people don't want to go outside, we've got some excellent products that are there for our young cricketers who are novices, who want to just come and experience for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, nice.
Part of our Cricket Mania program, which is also available at the ICC Academy, 4 hours throughout the summer. We've also got a Train Like the Pro cricket program, which is now running for 2 weeks consecutively, 10 days, for 5 hours a day for less than 1,100 dirhams. You can train for 10 days for 5 hours a week. That's 21 dirhams an hour. You can train with a level 3, level 4 coach and get better at your cricket. So you don't have to leave the country to get better. A lot of kids are leaving to go to India, Pakistan, across to England, to leave to get better. We're actually doing it here.
Yeah.
We've got the facilities, we've got indoor conditions, we've got the machines, we've got the resources, we've now even got the offering. So if you're really interested in getting better as a cricketer, we've got every program available for you. Come along to the ICC Academy, come along and just inquire on what's available, or just email our ICC hot desk, and we've got all the information there.
Last one from me, I'm conscious of time. Where do they go in terms of email addresses, etc.? Who do they need to get in touch with?
So in terms of the summer scheme, the summer program that's there for the 6-9-5, just email football@dsc.ae, or just come to the Football Academy over here, which is the main reception area. For the Cricket Mania and the Train Like a Pro, which is cricket only, come to the ICC Academy front reception, and they can get all the information across there.
You're a top man, Cass. Thank you so much for
popping
in.
Thank you for having me, mate.
It's been an absolute pleasure. We need to get you on more, because when it's talking cricket, who better to talk cricket than the head of cricket development for the ICC Academy?
Appreciate.
Keep up the great work, Cass. I know you guys and the team are doing wonderful stuff here in growing the game.
Thanks,
and fingers crossed, that structure, it will take time, my man, but that structure will come into play, no doubt about it. The voice of Cassie Malley, a massive thanks to he for joining us this afternoon. When we come back, we're going to talk football. I've got another special guest joining us, a man who does his bit for football, local grassroots football development. We're going to be speaking to him shortly. So keep your thoughts coming in on 4001. We'll keep you bang up to date with all the live sport as well. Stay tuned.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.